Hello, everyone. My name is Carlo Valenti, and I'm going to be one of the presenters for today's new GTOD Basics session. We are projecting the presentation in English, but you can also find the presentation in French if you go to the schedule. We also have the applicant guidebook in French and also other materials that you might find interesting in French and other languages as well. So please take a look at the new GTOD dedicated page to find those materials. So we are going to start giving an overview about domain names, some basics about the timeline and what the GTOD program is about. Who from the audience already know about the GTOD program? Shocked. Okay. Thank you. Then we're going to explore a little bit why ICANN is doing this and what is the potential impact that we have to different groups around the world, like, for example, businesses, governments, internet community and users. And that basically covers all. And then Tran, my colleague here, is going to talk to you about the details of the application. So who, when, what, how much, and all these wonderful things. The internet is an evolving ecosystem. We saw throughout the years all of the changes came quite quick from 1969 with the ARPANET, then the introduction of emails, the World Wide Web, and then we saw in the 90s an explosion with blogs and social networking and search engines and so forth. And those things have been evolving and taking a next level as we see social media today. We use Skype and many other things over the internet. So it became a major communications tool around the world. And people keep asking, so what is next for the internet? And this is one of the things that it is quite hard to answer because we saw amazing things happening in the past years. So creativity is out there. With the new GTOD program, what we're trying to do is to offer a platform for innovation, hoping that with new businesses and the new domain names, we open up the internet for more possibilities and even more creativity and innovation. And hopefully we see TODs that will be interesting for all types of users around the world. I'm not going to expand too much over this because you probably already, you know that after having all the sessions that you had throughout the day, particularly compliance. But if you look at the anatomy of a domain name, you have different blocks, right? So you have the third-level domain. So, for example, in this case here, it's going to be the word meetings. And then you have the second-level domains. In this case, is ICANN. And the first-level domains. And in this case, is .org. When we talk about new GTODs, we are talking about the top level, the first level, which is really at the end of the dot. If you could move the slide. Some terminology clarification. So when we talk about GTODs, we're talking about generic top-level domains. Sometimes domain names are also referred as extensions or labels or strings or suffixes. It really depends on who's writing, depends on whether or not the content is more technical or not. So it is the series of characters that makes part of the internet address. When we talk about CCTODs, the same things apply, but CCTODs is the country code top-level domain. And in this case, you're going to see nowadays mostly two characters, but now with the introduction of IDNs in CCTODs, you see, you know, things a bit differently. IDNs is internationalized domain names, so anything that is represented by local language characters, and what we mean by that is basically not Roman characters. So you see dot, and then Chinese characters or Korean characters or, you know, Russian characters and so forth. If you look at the root, this is a very, you know, high-level view of the root. And on one side, you see new GTODs. And nowadays, you have their, you know, about 2122 GTODs, like .org, the commonly known .com, and then some very specific ones like .museum. With the new GTOD program, that space opens up for ., and then after that, maybe a city name or an acronym of a business, or maybe a generic name like .love, or maybe a brand, maybe a community or a regional name, or the GIDM. So after the ., anything that you see there, like a city, generics, etc., in an IDN character. On the other side, you will see what we now classify the CCTODs, or the country code top-level domains. And as I said to you, they were usually characterized by two characters, like .jp for Japan, and so forth. And then we had a program launched 2 years ago that was the IDN Fast Track. And with this, we saw the introduction of IDN characters into the rule. And people usually ask, what is the difference between IDN program and the Fast Track program? Because in both cases, we are adding TODs to the route. Yes, indeed, but the Fast Track program had very specific rules for a very specific type of applicant. And the new GTOD program is an open program that gives much more flexibility to what you can apply for. And the rules for those two programs are very different. What they have in common is, of course, an increased number of extensions into the route that you as users might be seeing already or in the near future. If you move to the next slide, the DNS is a very complex system, and I am sure as you look at the schedule here, you see that we have registrar meetings, registry meetings, and IP constituency, and so on. So what happens here is that I can really shows a little bit of this ecosystem through the different stakeholder groups. If you look at this ecosystem, and can we load the whole thing? A lot of the times people will have the experience of the registrant, which means I, as an individual, if allowed, or a company goes and registers domain names. Sometimes this company would register under a CCTOD, a country code. So, for example, I am originally from Brazil. I could register carla.com.br. Or sometimes you have to go through a registrar. And this is the case for GTODs. In CCTODs is a hybrid scenario. Sometimes CCTODs have registrar systems, sometimes they don't, sometimes they have both. You can register directly or through a registrar. But if you, for example, try to register a .com nowadays, you have to go through a registrar. And then you see on this slide also the GTOD registries that are the companies that basically manage the domain name, the database, and everything. And sometimes there are also resellers in the marketplace that are, you know, between or another layer that is not contracted with ICANN. And when you look at these layers, and if you recall the compliance session that you saw earlier, who has the contractual relationship with ICANN are the registrars, the GTOD registrars, and the GTOD registries. The CCTOD registries have different kinds of, you know, understanding with ICANN or different kinds of arrangements with ICANN, but it's not the same kind of formal contract that ICANN holds with the registries or the GTOD registries. If you could move to this next slide. So what is a GTOD registry? A registry is a business that has a very specific requirement. It has this mandatory agreement with ICANN. If you look at the new GTOD program, this is sometimes called base agreement or registry agreement. It's authoritative master database for all of the domain names registered under that specific top level. So, for example, VeriSign would be the registry for the .com and the one that holds the master database. It has the zone files, and today, as I said before, you as registrants, if you have this role, you don't interact directly with the registries, but that might change in the future. Next slide, please. So what is the new GTOD program? The new GTOD program is an initiative by ICANN that enables the introduction of more top-level domains or extensions, ASCII and IDNs, into the domain name space. So if you look at, it's under the GTOD part. And this program is managed by the ICANN Corporation of Assigned Names and Numbers, or ICANN. Next slide, please. Is that the first time that we see GTOD is being added to the route? No. We had two previous rounds, and they were much smaller than what we have now, and they had different rules and different evaluation requirements. They were really test cases. We learned a lot from the previous process to be able to design and expand on the program that you see today. But if you take a look at this timeline, for example, some of the main TODs that you recognize there, like ComNet.org, they predate ICANN, so they were established before 1998. And then in the year 2000, we had a round that introduced more TODs, the ones that you see listed there. In 2004, there was another round and introduced another group of GTODs. And then the GNSO, which is part of ICANN, the Generic Name Supporting Organization, for 2 years they spent discussing and developing a policy that really serves as a foundation for staff to do all the implementation work that we have done. So this policy says things like, strings should not be confusing, this process has to be fair, you know, so it's a very high level foundation for what we have to do in order to develop a program. And then what did we do? Usually when you see companies developing a product or a program, what happens in the private sector is that they go to their lab or, you know, manufacturing, they develop a program, and then when they are ready, they maybe do some testing with a selected group of consumers, and then they put the product in the shelf with the pricing and everything and do the advertising, and you go there and buy. ICANN is a little bit different in a way that we have, through our open and transparent process, shared all of the development steps with the general public around the world, with the hope of having the input to help us shape the program. So it is like we open the doors of the production or the manufacturing for everybody to see how this is being shaped and help to shape the program. And this is what the publication of this draft applicant guidebook is. You know, it's a series of times that ICANN published, you know, that work that was being done, and then we had public comment period. People came back and said, you know, you still didn't address this issue, or you should improve on that part of the program and so forth. So this is why you see a lot of versions. And some people get confused because they say, why are you publishing all of that? I want to see what is the final product. What, how much, when you are going to introduce that. So this is a bit different, as I said, from a regular program or a regular product that is launched. You know, this is a very collaborative process with our ICANN community that is not only this formal stakeholder groups, but is actually all of you, all of us, that can participate into this program. So the latest version of the applicant guidebook and the one that you are encouraged to read is dated May 2011 and is available in 6 United Nations languages. In 2008 was the time when the board approved the policy. And basically what they said at this time was, staff, go ahead and implement that policy. Then the board approved the final guidebook. So it's a two-step process. In the first 2008, the board said, staff, go ahead and implement this program, develop it. And in 2000, or actually the last ICANN meeting, what the board did was to say, now ICANN, this final guidebook is approved, and these are the launch dates. And right now the launch date is January 12, 2011, and this is going to be an open window until April 12, 2011. The details about that, Trent is going to tell you. So why are we expanding the top level? Many people ask that. So one of the reasons is nowadays you have somewhat a limitation on the GTODs because you have ASCII. And we know very well that the world does not necessarily communicate in Roman characters or ASCII, right? And this is one of the ways that we can really have a more inclusive internet. As I said before, to create a platform for innovation in this industry and the internet, and open the doors to increase choice and competition in the marketplace. Choice and competition to whom? To you as users or registrants of the domain names, to registrars in their offering, or to businesses to become a registries. So it's choice and competition, you know, around. If we could do next, please. Here we only cite, I'm not going to extend too much on this, but here we cite some of the official documents ICANN has that actually validate or establish ICANN's authority over doing a new GTOD program or introducing new GTODs into the marketplace. And you're welcome to check those documents on our website. Next, please. So what is the impact? The impact of new GTODs is, in my personal opinion, to everyone. So even if you choose not to be part of the program as an applicant, or not be an active part of the program as an applicant, you should not choose not to know about it. Because as a good business, you should know what your competitors are doing. You should know what you, how your consumers will behave in the future. Maybe there's going to be a TOD that is generic to the type of industry that you are in. Maybe this is an opportunity for investment. Maybe, you know, you have to change the ways you protect your brand online. Your trademarks, how are they, you know, registered as domain names or not registered? Is somebody registering your brand as a top level? As I said before, impact on industry sectors. So, for example, if somebody decides to register .cars, is this in the future going to be the extension that your consumers are going to be inclined to go to shop for cars or to, you know, validate resellers or something like that? also, you need to be very aware that if you have an online system in which people, for example, fill out a form and they have to provide you with an email address, and they happen to have an email address that is in IDNs at the end. So, for example, carla@icann.org and then org instead of being O-R-G is something in Chinese. Is your system going to accept that form? You know, you have to be careful with that because sometimes systems are designed to either limit the characters, you know, to say this is a valid email address, or they are not prepared for other characters, like, for example, Korean, Chinese, and so forth. Or the systems have a limitation on the number of characters that is allowed, or they have a limitation. They said, oh, this is the TODs that we have in the root, and they did the system several years ago, and they are not aware that there's more additions to the root, so they didn't update the system. So if you depend on selling things online and you depend on having your customers filling out email addresses, you know, be careful that your systems are upgraded to recognize email addresses with new top-level domains. Ahead, please. Impact to governments and communities. Communities is a big word, and it means different things to different people. It could be language communities, could be geographic communities. But the bottom line is that depending on the TODs that we have in the marketplace and how they establish themselves, you might see, you know, an impact on how people use those TODs and how they spread information and how they communicate. The advantage also with the IDN is to have a globally and culturally more inclusive internet. There might be an impact to local CCTODs. So, for example, I have heard, and we are not endorsing in any way, but we have heard about the potential of having a .Africa or having a ., and then some of the regional meaningful names. So geographic names is another impact. So the impact is not only because we have in the future companies that will register certain domain names, but how are the users going to behave towards their domain names? Are they going to embrace it? How are they going to shape those domain names? And we need to have a watchful eye on how this develops. Next slide, please. Impact to users, more choice, innovation, competition, online cultural, linguistic, geographic communities. But most importantly, in my opinion, is maybe different ways to find information. In the future, you need to know that maybe when you type a company name, instead of finding companyname.com or companyname. You know, your local CCTOD, you find a dot and then simply company name. Is that legitimate? Is that a new way that this company is branding? Am I on the right site? You know, so all of that is important because even, as I said, even if you're not an active participant in the program, you still might be impacted as a user because you might see different ways that, you know, companies behave on the internet and, you know, spread their information, their products and services. Next, please. And now I will pass the mic to Trent that is going to explain the details about how the program works. Thank you.
Thanks, Carla. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the new GTLD program, but I'm going to cover this at sort of a high level because this is a new G's basics part of the newcomers track.
You need to get closer.
Sorry. There are other new GTLD sessions later on this week. If you want to learn more about the details of the program, there is a new GTLD update session on Wednesday. There is a new GTLD evaluation, application and evaluation process on Thursday. There's an IDN variant session on Monday, and the JAS working group is going to give an update. I believe that's on Monday as well. So there are other sessions going on this week around new GTLDs if you want to learn more about the specifics of the program. But so who can apply? Well, new GTLD program is available for all qualified eligible businesses from around the world. It's important to note that this is not the same as buying a domain name. This is a serious commitment to operate a visible piece of the internet infrastructure, and so there are very stringent eligibilities, and one of those eligibilities is that you have to be a business to apply. Individuals cannot apply. Section 1.2.1 of the applicant guidebook lays out all of the eligibility requirements. So if you're thinking about applying for a new GTLD, that's a good place to start to see if you are eligible to do so. How to apply? The entire application process is going to be managed by the TLD application system, or TAS. TAS is a secure online system that is going to be available through our website when the application window opens on January 12, 2012, and not before. I've gotten a lot of questions about that. TAS will only open when the application window opens. But now, if you wanted to see what TAS looks like ahead of the application window, you can do so. We now have a recorded demo of TAS that's available on our website. And then on Thursday at the new GTLD application and evaluation process session, we're also going to be showing you a little bit of TAS. So if you're interested in seeing what TAS looks like, either go to our website or attend that Thursday session. The entire application process is in English. The applicant guidebook provides a maximum page number for the answer to each of the questions. And so in TAS, what we've done is we've taken that and translated into a space allotment in TAS. So you have a space available for you to enter your answer in for each of the questions. The answers have to be entered in plain text. There's no hyperlinks or anything like that. TAS is going to allow you to upload attachments as part of your answers, but they cannot be used to extend the space for your answer, meaning if part of your answers is in the attachments when a question doesn't ask for it, the evaluation panels may not consider them. TAS is also going to give you notifications for certain things. So, for example, when it's time for you to complete your user profile, TAS is going to prompt you to do that. When it's time for you to submit your deposit, TAS is going to prompt you to do that. So it's really going to handhold you throughout the entire application process. when can you apply? Well, we touched on this earlier. The application window opens on January 12, 2012, and it is going to close on April 12, 2012. So that's approximately a three-month window where you can apply for a new GTLD. Now, it's important to note that although the application window closes on April 12, the actual date for you to register in TAS, the last day for you to register in TAS, is going to be March 29th. And the reason we are doing that is because there are a number of processing steps that are involved in the registration process. And so we want to make sure that you have enough time as an applicant to complete your application prior to the closing of the application window. And so that's an important date to remember, the March 29th date. So what do you need to apply? Well, first you should read the applicant guidebook. It really has all of the information that you need to know about the program, about how to apply for a new GTLD, and about the evaluation process too. It also has all of the questions and all of the requirements that you would need to know. So that's a great place to start. And then if you're thinking about applying for a new GTLD and want to engage any strategic or third parties to help you through the application process, you should engage them early, especially if you're thinking about applying for a geographic community or IDN application, or TLD, because there are extra requirements for those TLDs. So keep that in mind. So how much does it cost? Well, the evaluation fees is $185,000. Now, ICANN is not launching the new GTLD program to make money. ICANN is a nonprofit organization, and the $185,000 was derived solely based on a cost recovery basis. On our website, there is a memorandum on the new GTLD budget, and you can take a look at that if you want to learn more about the background specifics on how the number $185,000 was derived at. But it is 100% on a recovery basis. That $185,000 is payable to ICANN by the end of the application window, April 12th. And you will have to pay a $5,000 deposit when you register. And that $5,000 is credited towards the $185,000 evaluation fee. The reason why we're asking for a deposit is because we want to minimize the number of frivolous registrations in TAS. It's really to protect you as an applicant. That's why we're doing that. Now, refunds are available if you withdraw your applications, and the amount of refunds varies depending on when you withdraw your application. And section, I believe, 1.5 of the applicant guidebook has the schedule of refunds that's available. So you can take a look at that if you're interested in learning more about refunds. Now, it's important to note that the $185,000 evaluation fee covers the initial evaluation and the extended evaluation. So if you fail initial evaluation and you elect to go through extended evaluation, there's no extra cost to you as an applicant. But there may be other costs associated with processing your application depending on the path that your application takes. So, for example, if you want to file an objection, there is going to be an objection filing fee, and that's above and beyond the $185,000. Or, for example, if you are a community-based application and you elect to go through community priority evaluation in order to get priority in your contention set, there will be a fee associated with that, and that's above and beyond the $185,000. So refer to the guidebook for all of that information. It has information on the various paths that an application might go through and any fees or requirements associated with it. Now, if your application goes through all the evaluation steps and passes all required reviews and gets delegated into the route, you're going to have to pay an ongoing registry fee to ICANN, and that registry fee is twofold. There is a fixed registry fee of $6,250 per calendar quarter. And then on top of that fixed fee, there is a per transaction fee of 25 cents per transaction if your TOD reaches a certain domain registration volume. Now, it's important to know that, if you are thinking about applying for a new GTLD, you also should take into consideration any costs that may be associated with running a registry business. So costs associated with marketing your TLD, costs associated with, the ongoing operations of your GTLD, with customer service. All of those are costs that you should take into consideration if you're thinking about applying for a new GTLD. And the cost of, those costs vary greatly, really depending upon the business model of your TOD. So take that into account. The applicant support program, so Nucci's have do provide support for applicant, and by support, I mean it could be financial support or any other kind of support. What we currently have on our website is a directory where we can match people who are able to provide pro bono support to applicants who are seeking support. So there's a directory up there where you can go. If you're a company that provides any kind of pro bono support, you can put your name in that directory, or if you're an applicant and you need any kind of support, you can put your name up there, and we can try to match, you know, the companies and then the applicants together. The ICANN board has also approved a $2 million seed fund to assist applicants from developing economies. And the criteria and the process for the grant allocation is still under development, but we expect those to be available soon and in time for you if you are interested to apply. And all of the information will be posted on our website. There's also a JAS session also on Monday if you're interested in learning more about the applicant support program. Okay, so I'm going to cover the evaluation process right now. And again, I'm only going to cover this at a high level. If you're interested in learning more, attend our Thursday session on the application and evaluation process. So we talked about the application period. It's a three-month period that starts on January 12th and closes on April 12th. At the end of the application period, their administrative completeness check kicks in. And basically, that's an eight-week period where ICANN checks to ensure that all of the applications are complete. So the checks to ensure that all of the applications are complete. At 2 weeks after the application window closes and 2 weeks into administrative completeness check is when we post all of the apply for strings as well as the public portions of all of the applications. At that point in time, there are three processes that kick off. There is the application comments process, there is the GAC early warning process, and there is an objections process that kick off. So application comments basically is an opportunity for you, the public, to submit a comment on any of the posted application materials. And if your comment is submitted within a 60-day period, those comments will be forwarded onto the evaluation panels for consideration. The GAC early warning process runs concurrently with the application comments process. And GAC early warning provides the ICANN Governmental Advisory Committee with the opportunity to issue a notification to any application that it deems to be potentially sensitive or problematic to any any one or more governments. And again, that process runs concurrently with application comments. The objection process is the other thing that kicks off. And I'll talk a little bit more about objections later on, but basically it's a process that allows any party withstanding to file an objection on an application on any one of four grounds. And we'll talk about objections a little bit later. At the end of the administrative completeness check is when initial evaluation starts. Initial evaluation is a approximately 5 months process, and basically it takes a look at two things. It takes a look at the string, and it takes a look at the applicant. So the string reviews basically ensures that the applied-for string does not cause stability or security problems in the DNS. And the applicant review basically determines that the applicant has the financial and technical wherewithal to run a registry. At the end of initial evaluation is when we post the results of all initial evaluations, so that at that point you can find out if an application passes or fails. If an application fails initial evaluation, the applicant can elect to go through extended evaluation. Extended evaluation is only available for geographic, financial, technical, and registry reviews. So basically, if you fail DNS reviews during initial evaluation, you cannot elect extended evaluation. So extended evaluation are only available for those four panels that I just talked about. If you have an objection that was filed against your application during initial evaluation, this is also the time that dispute resolution goes on. So dispute resolution happens concurrently with extended evaluation. String contention is a process that happens at the very end. It's a process that kicks in if two or more applications for the same or similar strings are submitted. And it's a process that only takes place on applications that have passed all of the other reviews. So, for example, if you have application A and application B, and application A passes initial evaluations, and they're both in the same contention set, and application A passes initial evaluation, option B does not and elects to go through extended evaluation, application A would have to wait for application B to finish extended evaluation, and only if application B passes extended evaluation would both of them go into string contention. So it's the very last process that happens. If the application passes all reviews, then you move on to a process that's called transition to delegation. This is the point at which the applicant will sign the registry agreement. This is also when pre-delegation technical testing will occur to validate the information that you provided in the application. And this is also when the TOD gets delegated, get put into the root. Now, once the TOD is put into the root, I can expect that it would go live in approximately 1 year. However, once it's in the root, it's entirely a business decision that's up to the TOD operator. You know, ICANN does not impose a specific time frame as to when that TOD has to go live. It is just our expectation that it will be live in approximately 1 year. The last thing that I want to mention on this slide is that the entire evaluation process, all the way from background screening through to string contention, we utilize third-party independent expert evaluation panels to do all of these evaluations. There are about 7 or 8 evaluation panels that would do background screening evaluation, that would do technical, financial, geographic name, DNS stability, registry services, community priority evaluation. So all of those type of evaluations are being done by third-party expert panels. This next slide shows you basically the path of a straightforward application. If there are no issues with the application and it moves through initial evaluation, it could take approximately 9 months for that entire process for a straightforward application. This slide shows you variables in the evaluation path. So for a complicated application where, say, for example, there's a GAC early warning, there's an objection filed against it, it's in a contention set, it elects to go through community priority evaluation, in that scenario, it could take up to 20 months for the application to be processed. So take that into consideration. So we touched on objections earlier. So basically, the new GTOD program provides an opportunity for any party withstanding to file an objection. And objections can be filed on any one of 4 grounds: string confusion, legal rights, limited public interest, and community. The string confusion objection can be used if the applied for string so closely resembles another that it could cause confusion. So basically that means that if I'm a TOD operator and I think that one of the applied for string so closely resemble my string that it could cause confusion in the marketplace, I could file a string confusion objection on that particular applied for string. The legal rights objection may be used if the potential use of an applied for string takes unfair advantage of the distinctive character or reputation of the objector's registered or unregistered trademark. So what that means is if I am a trademark holder and I think that one of the applied for string could infringe upon my trademark, I could file a legal rights objection. The limited public interest objection may be used if the applied for string is contrary to general principles of international laws for morality and public order. And the community objection may be used if there is substantial opposition from a significant portion of the community that the TOD is intended to serve. So those are the 4 grounds for objection. And if you want to learn more about objections, go to the applicant guidebook. I think it's section 3.2 of the applicant guidebook. It has lays out the processes for filing an objection, the dispute resolution process. It provides you with information with regards to who can file what type of objection. So go to the applicant guidebook for more information. So what should I do now? Well, I think this is a great time for you to start evaluating to see if this is something that's right for you. And how you can do that is, again, read the applicant guidebook, talk to other people here at the meeting, just to see if this is something that's right for you. Go to our website. Learn about the registry business as much as you can, because this is exactly what it is. If you're interested, it's going to be applying to run a registry business. So learn as much as you can about that. If we don't already have it on our website, it should be posted very soon, a series of videos with regards to the registry business and what that's like. So check that out. But really, this is a great time for you to learn as much as you can, get an understanding of what the program is and determining what it is or determining if it is right for you. And if it is right for you, then, you know, you can apply January 12th. If it is not for you, like Carla had mentioned earlier, you should still monitor the program. You know, if you're a trademark holder or a brand holder, monitor the program to see if any apply for GTOD string may be infringing upon your trademark. Or if you're a business, you know, you need to monitor the program. Consumer behavior is going to change. There's going to be new and different ways for them to find and navigate the internet, and you need to stay ahead of the curve there in terms of figuring out how you're going to adapt to the new environment to better serve your customers. So even though you're not applying, it's still very worth it for you to stay involved with the program. And lastly, there's a few links up here for you. If you have any questions, obviously, you can submit your questions to newgtod@icann.org. My team and I will be happy to answer any questions that you may have. You can visit our website for more information. You can follow us on Twitter. So that's about it for this session. Do we have some time for questions? Yes?
Just let me say something. It's 5:18 Senegal time in my clock. We have 10 more minutes for Q&A. However, Tren and I will be around, at least I will be around until 6 o'clock. I think maybe outside this room because something is being done here soon. But we will be around to answer questions if you have any questions. Thank you.
I will just continue in this order.
Hi, and thank you for your presentation. I would like to know if, regarding the funding, the $2 million funding that you have for people who would like to start a new GTLD, is there somewhere we could find the requirements for this program? And also, when do you think it will be launched or not?
Hi. I am the staff member that works with a working group that is called the Jazz Working Group. It's quite a name, but it's a working group with members from all over the world that are part of the GENESO and ALAC. And this group has been working since April last year to put together recommendations for the board. And they said to the board, you know, we believe that this kind of applicants are the ones that should receive some kind of support. We believe that this is the kind of support that you should be offering and so forth. So this report is now open for public comment, and you're welcome to, you know, comment on that recommendation. What is happening now in Dakar, and is very important, is that on Monday, the board is going to listen again to this working group, and they are going to present the report, and they are going to say to the board, we would like you to implement this, and the board is then going to consider and direct staff to do something. So at this point, we don't have the final program details. This report is a set of recommendations by this working group. How this program is going to be shaped in the next weeks, because we don't really have that much time. If you look at the new GTOD program launch being January 12th, you know, we're working on the details, and we're going to publish the details. And the details will be, these are the candidates that can apply for a grant. The $2 million that the board has established as seed money will be distributed in such and such way. And this is the process you need to follow, and this is how long it's going to take, and this is when you can apply, and so forth. So what I ask you to do is to pay attention of the developments that happen now in Dakar, particularly the board, what the board is going to say. And the second thing is pay attention to the ICANN's website, because in the near future we are going to tell you all of the details that you are asking for. Thank you.
Thank you.
One more question here.
One more question. Yashar Ajayev, AIPAC. So you indicated the evaluation fee about 185,000. So have you some mechanism how you calculate it? And is there some possibility to make it less, this fee?
Let me make sure that I understand the question. So you're saying that if there is a possibility that this $185,000 fee is reduced to certain applicants?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is one of the recommendations that the Jazz Working Group has on its final report and is presenting to the board on Monday. And this is one of the many issues that the board is going to be considering. So far, we do not have a program with a fee reduction, but we're waiting for that decision to be made.
Thank you, Carla. We have another one, one question here.
Thank you. I'm new to this industry, so I have a newbie question. My question is, so I was saying I'm new to the industry, so I don't know much about the industry yet. And I have a question about if the ICANN has any, did any research into the market demand for new GTLDs. So did you consult businesses and governments and regions and whatever else?
Market share?
Market demand.
I'm sorry, the question is if ICANN had any study done on market share, market impact.
Market demand. So is there a real need for a new GTLD?
Oh, demand. We did have some economic studies that were done. I don't recall the titles of the documents from the top of my head, but those documents can be found on the new GTLD program pages. What you have to realize is that when predicting the future, you know, there is always some uncertainty about what is going to be, right? We don't know exactly at this point how many GTLD applications we are going to receive. So we did some studies. How conclusive those studies are depends on how you interpret that. But in any case, it is very hard to know in the future what is going to happen and what is going to be the impact. What was done is, in the past, especially when the GNSO was developing the process, is an understanding that there was opportunity for innovation and there was the need for example, IDNs and other things into the route.
Okay,
thank you.
Carla, there are two questions on Adobe Connect. The first says, are there any technical implications for countries still using IPv4 before the use of new TLDs?
I don't believe there's any issue on that, but we had, don't we have an IPv6 requirement on the, we have an IPv6 requirement on the applicant guidebook.
Yeah, I'll just add that we can look more specifically into that, but I do know for sure that there's an IPv6 requirement in the application questions.
The next question is, with new TLDs, does it mean I can write .dakar either using Latin or Arabic character?
So country names are not available under the new GTLD program, but the concept of IDN is there, yes. So you could have a, say, for example, .thing or .love or whatever it is in the native script.
Ladies, I have two more questions on this side.
Merci. Excusez-moi.
Excuse me, but my question has to do with the what you the domain that what I would like to know. Say, apparently, it's enough that a business entity has the capacity, technical capacity, and financial capacity, and during a certain delay of observation, there are no complaint. No, so that entity could access to the management of a name, of a domain name, these new GTLD. I think that's what I understood. There are two conditions. You have to have the financial capacity and that there are no complaints during a certain amount of time. There are certain words or certain names of regions that have a certain sensibility. Donc, eventually, the community that's attached to that region is not necessarily connected to the internet, not necessarily always observing this site. The ICANN website, isn't it would be good to include a registry for these words or these names that have that are sensitive or particular? Thank you.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier a process called GAC Early Warning, and that is a process that would allow a representative from the Governmental Advisory Committee that's part of ICANN to voice any issues or concerns over an application based on any sort of cultural or community or any kind of sensitivities that it may find. So there is a process in the program that will allow a representative from the GAC to voice concerns over an application on behalf of a particular region or community.
One more question here, Trang. It's in French, so if you can wear your headphones.
Thank you for the presentation you just made. One more question. It is in reference to the projection of the geographical name or historical name. I am asking if I'm asking myself if in the directive on the terms we talk about protection of the cultural name and geographical name. That's all she said. Est-ce que vous par rapport au nouveau GT? When we talk about the new GTLDs, I'm wondering if, for example, someone asked to have a new domain name, Point Karim, that is a town in Senegal, if the contribution to be brought to have the name, to apply for this name of the domain, will it be approved or... The Senegal will be advised on this, or will the country of Senegal have
As I mentioned earlier, geographic TLDs have additional requirements, and one of those requirements is that the apply for entity must provide a supporting letter or documentation from that particular region. So it's, for example, if a certain part of Senegal wanted to apply for, you know, the name of the dot of whatever that region is, it has to provide supporting documentation from the government supporting that TLD.
Well, thank you, everyone. We need to close this session now. It's been a long day. I know you have further questions, but Carla and Tran will be among us, like they already stated. And thanks for being so engaged and, you know, being so participative to these sessions. Now we need to close because there's another event here in this very room, and we need to clear this out. So those of you who have questions, Carla, can you announce where you're going to be, and then they can come and find you?
Yeah.
We'll be outside.
So I have two things. One is Tran and I will be here around, you know, to answer your questions. And I'm sorry for the ones in the chat room and the ones in the audience that didn't have a chance to answer the questions. I'll try to engage the chat a little bit longer and answer your questions until 6 o'clock. And the second thing is for the women in the audience that are attending ICANN Dakar, we have a DNS Women group. And we are meeting at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning for breakfast. It's a great opportunity for you to meet leaders in the domain name system, other women, and, you know, network. So it's tomorrow at 7 a.m. I forgot the name of the room. flamboyant. The room is flamboyant at 7 a.m. breakfast. Sorry, gentlemen, this is for women only. Thank you.